Morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you all here. You know, it's a big bummer, you know, being in a position where you're not able to go to family camp and, you know, spend the time with so many saints that are up there that we just very rarely get to see. But, you know, it's really awesome to see how many of us are here, though, and we have that ability that we're still able to, you know, congregate together and build one another up. So it's really awesome, really encouraging to see you guys here. I'm really encouraged that Dr. Dotson was willing to do the Lord's stewardship. You know, that was really wonderful. But Mr. Wilson, I've done this the last two family camp, you know, Sundays, and haven't really had any issue with it. Mr. Wilson's always left it alone. Well, this year, for some reason, he had a ton of questions for me about what was planned, what was going to happen, how are things going to run, and you know, for some reason, it really made me nervous, you know, and so it was nice having Dave here. But then on top of that, when I show up and I saw Jeremy here, oh man, that put the biggest smile on my face and helped ease so much off the shoulders. I recorded a video last year of Jared setting up all the equipment and everything, and I was all searching this morning trying to find it so I could remember how to do it, and just having those little things, you know, those little pieces to the body, just, man, they really just encourage you. They help out so much. Sorry, let me get my electronic Bible booted up here. Don't ask me why I'm using this. So I had something that I wanted to talk about. I'd been working with Kevin Simpson, studying with him on Thursday nights, going through a lot of the prophecies and everything, you know, being able to prove to people that the Word of God is true using the prophecies. And I had some stuff out of that I wanted to do, but there was something else that's been hitting me a lot. And so last night, of course, last minute, I switched messages and put this together and everything. But I feel it's something that, one, Don Love and my Uncle Elvin Hopper, they would have really liked it. So since this was kind of their thing, this is a good way to remember them. But it's also something, too, that's pretty big and happening right now. You know, we have an election coming up. And, you know, we got the Republicans and the Democrats fighting, throwing things back and forth, you know, pretending that they're not each one side of the same coin. You know, so we all feel like we have some choices. But there's one guy that really stands out. I don't know, have any of you heard of Bernie Sanders? Anybody pay attention to him at all? Okay, we've got a couple. All right, so Bernie Sanders is a 70-year-old guy, I believe from Maine or Maryland. Don't quote me on that. But he is what is called the Democratic Socialist. Now, he's not a socialist. He's a Democratic Socialist, which I'm not going to go into the explanation of all that. In reality, he's a socialist. But there's a lot of people that are backing him. He has so much momentum. He's actually pushing ahead of Hillary Clinton right now. And Hillary was supposed to be the Democrat golden child, you know, the front runner for him. And he's pushing it through kind of the same way Ron Paul did, you know, a lot of the Facebook. He's got a really big grassroots movement, which, you know, good for him. He knows how to market, especially at 70 years old, you know, really impressive. And there's a lot of people backing him, a lot of them on Facebook. And I have a lot of friends who support him. And we have conversations back and forth about him being a socialist or not being a socialist. Real fast, kind of an explanation of socialism. Socialism is a unified society where nothing is privately owned, but everything is owned by the collective or society, a place where no one is above anybody else and we all get equal shares, where the poor and hungry will never go wanting. Wow, socialism sounds great, doesn't it? You start looking into socialism and even communism, and on paper, they're perfect. They're actually really good societies. And because of that, you know, because of these wordings, you know, we're all equal. We're all in this together, you know. You no longer own your company that you own. We all get a share in it. You know, there's so many people that are backing him because of it. And once you start paying attention, you start realizing, well, there's a certain type of people that are backing him and that really feed off of this idea of all of us being equal, you know. He really pushes, you know, free school, free health care, you know, free retirement, all an equal living wage, you know, things like that, which sound great in theory. one of the other things too is, you know, you start arguing these things. You know, you start doing the arguments against socialism where there have been a lot of countries that have tried it, you know. Look at Serbia. Look at Venezuela, you know. Look at, well, Germany was communist, but still, I mean, socialist. They're all the same. You look at all these countries, you know, everything that everybody's ever backed Karl Marx and, you know, followed his design, they've all failed. They've all just fallen apart. And so you start talking to people about that, and they automatically start throwing barbs at you. One of the big things they've been pushing, you'll see a lot of these memes where it's these pictures with words on them, kind of give a short message with a visual point. And one of them, one of the biggest ones, has Jesus and Bernie Sanders next to each other. And it says, on each side, number one, former carpenter, Jewish, Jewish, socialist, socialist. So why do conservatives love the one but hate the other? Well, they're twisting things there. There's a lack of understanding on their part. Another thing they do is, you know, they'll show all these things about Jesus, you know, wanting to feed the poor, wanting to take care of the widows, wanting to take care of this, and they'll say, why do you love this one, but when he says it, it's wrong? So, and if we don't support that, you know, especially as Christians, because we say we want those things, you know, we're labeled as hypocrites. They don't want to believe us at that point. But there are big differences between socialism and the love of Christ and his church. And this is where they're getting it confused, because they don't have those understandings. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 22:39. We are given, as Christians, quite a bit of instruction. You know, we're left with a really great commandment. In Matthew 22:39, this is the second commandment that he was leaving us with. It says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's a big purpose behind that. You know, would you ever let yourself starve? Would you ever let yourself go unclothed? You know, would you ever let yourself sleep out in the rain? You know, and yeah, there's probably been points where we have let ourselves starve, things like that. But in reality, if you think about it, you know, you're going to preserve your life as best you can. So you want to preserve somebody else's life. You want to lay down everything you can for them, which one of the things they're using in the socialism. The church, we should take care of widows. We should take care of orphans. We should take care of the sick and the weary and the poor. But there's a point, and this is where socialism gets it wrong, is you start just giving out, giving out, giving out. Saturday Night Live, when the Obamacare Act went through, they did a skit, and it was one of the most perfect skits ever. It had this dad and his college, you know, 24, 25-year-old son standing there, and they were interviewing him. They're like, well, what do you think of this? And he's like, oh, I don't think it's very good, blah, blah, blah. And they ask the kid, they're like, what do you think of it? He's like, I have health insurance. And the dad's like, yeah, but he won't move out. He's like, I don't need to move out. I have health insurance. And they're like, yeah, but he won't get a job. I don't need a job. I have health insurance. And it's true. Once you start giving too much without requiring any sort of thing in return, you build that base. You see a lot in those Eastern European countries where socialism is huge. They have a lot of bar traffic, a lot of bar traffic, a lot of people who don't do much over there. You know, there's many places where you have to go wait in line for food. There are other places where, you know, they're still better off, but still socialistic. But there's still problems where, you know, you can't just go out and start a business and decide to do this. You can't just go from job to job and decide to try something else. And those who do, you know, they work really hard, but they live in the same sort of quality as those who don't do anything. You know, remember Mr. Wilson, Jay Wilson, talking about one of his trips, and I can't remember where it was. It might have been, I think it was somewhere in Russia, but he was staying with this professor of a very high-end university over there. Professors here in universities make very good money. He lived in the same apartment complex as many people who worked in grocery stores and didn't do much of anything else. That's socialism. No matter how hard you work, you're at the same level as them. Whoops. Sorry, I deleted out something here. I had another verse marked, and I believe this was in... this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Sorry, this is where electronics go bad. I really need to stick to using a Bible. You'd think I'd learn. Okay, no, I'm just going to read the verses. I'm sorry, I lost where it was placed. So, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. And it is Acts. I just can't remember the chapter. I'm sorry.
44 to 47.
Perfect. Good man. So we do see that they were selling all their possessions, but they were doing it, you see, with great attitude, together, wholeheartedly, as one unit, they were doing it together. See, with Christianity, we build a spirit. We change. We're no longer, you know, these worldly people. We're of a mindset and of one body where we want to focus on one thing. We want to focus on Christ and the best way to serve Him. One of the ways to do that is we love one another as we love ourselves. The first century church understood this really well, and they understood that there was so much work to do. So they were going, the ones that could, and they were selling off everything, getting rid of everything to support the mission, support the poor, support the widows, get men out there and preaching the word and everywhere. They were downgrading, you know. They didn't need this 4,000 square foot mud hut or whatever they had back then, you know. They were okay to live in the little shack and just have wonderful family time so they could help. But with socialism, we're not given that choice, you know. You work hard, you work 80 hours a week, we're going to take 80% of that and give to them over there who aren't working. And what does that do for you? Your attitude goes down, you know. You don't want to work. Why? What's the point? One of the comments Bernie Sanders has made, and this is the one I always hit a lot of these guys with, and they never know what to say, but he made the comment, if I could tax the super rich 90% of their income, I would. That's stealing. That's horrible. Why would I want to do anything with my life if you're just going to punish me like that? When once again, I could be like the college kid living at home. I've got insurance. I don't need to do anything else. You know, I got my food stamps. Everything's good. You know, just work the little bit they tell me to work or whatever I have to do. And that's the attitude. That's where it's so important, you know, with Christians compared to them, is it's being stolen from them. It's forced. With us, we care. We love. We want to. We see a good example of not having that attitude. You look at Acts chapter 5. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 3 again, verse 5. Wow, I have no idea what's going on with this thing. I apologize, guys. That's what I get for changing messages at 1 a.m. Right? No, sorry. Figuring it out here. Chapter where he starts talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Chapter 5, yep. Okay, so that was marked right. Sorry. So chapter 5, starting verse 1. So, but a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. So once again, you see, all these people were selling things, and they were giving everything to the Lord. They weren't commanded to do that. They were doing it because they felt it. You know, it was in their hearts. They understood what needed to be done, and they were doing it. It was their choice how much they gave. With Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they basically kind of felt peer pressure there. I mean, the Bible doesn't say it, but that's what was going on, you know. They saw everybody doing it, but they didn't want to. You know, so they gave a percentage to make themselves look good. And once again, with socialism, that's where we kind of get it is, your heart's not in it. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to give it your all. It doesn't mean anything. You know, if I do something for you, and I'm expecting a thank you or something in return, did what I do really matter? Or if I do something for you because I love you and I see you need help, that's where it's good. James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the... Oh, where's the rest of it? Oh my gosh. I love you guys. Thank you for being patient with me. Okay. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Everything that we do, if it's done with the right heart and we're doing the things that we need, we're going, we're laying down ourselves for one another, we're sacrificing for one another, we're taking care of those who need it. That's pure and undefiled before God. It's exactly what we need to be doing. But we have to have that right heart, that right mindset, that want to do it. And once again, too, you know, the Bible's great. One, it's perfect. But two, it explains everything to us. Everything we need to figure out in life is in there. You know, right now, the world's in turmoil. People are scared. So they're clinging to this Bernie Sanders guy, you know. We don't have really good jobs in America anymore. We're a service nation. People know that. People are fighting for the $15 an hour minimum wage. Isn't going to do anything. Inflation will just go up. They don't understand that. But they're clinging to something. And that's why they're pulling these posts of Bernie and Jesus together, you know. They're looking for a savior. But in reality, you know, there's a setup and the way things should be done. No man government has ever made it. History always repeats itself. But one that follows God's path, you know, how do we treat workers who work hard? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. A man is due his work. What he puts in is what he's worth. There are guys who work so hard in construction, you know, building a business, you know, the middle income people, they put so much out there. They sacrifice so much of their family and everything. You know, doctors, nurses, just all these people putting all these hours. And for us as a society to go, well, I'm due my due, and I haven't put in what they put in, but I'm still due it. That's wrong. You know, it's not right to muzzle them. It's not right to persecute them for trying and wanting more. But that's the society we've become. You know, we become the society that wants the handout, that wants the easy way out. You know, it's kind of saddening. You know, it's saddening to see people go that direction. But once again, history repeats itself. People don't learn from it. You know, they're willing to trade anything for comforts. We see it with our freedoms right now. You know, we're giving so much of our freedoms away for security. We want to feel safe, you know. We want to feel taken care of, you know. Go ahead, give me free college. Give me free this. I don't care what you take from me to do it, you know. Really, I don't care what you take from him or him or him is what they're saying, not realizing what they're losing. And that's the big thing is, you know, when there's so much free things, nothing's free. It all comes with something. We do get a free gift with socialism. It's called slavery. And the Bible is very clear on why not to take loans from people, why not to take handouts. In Proverbs 22:7, I'll just go ahead and read. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. So once again, we're giving things up, you know. We live in a society where we pretty much have to take loans. It's a bummer, you know. Right now, me and the wife are buying a house. Have to take a loan for it. Things are so priced out of control that I can't afford to pay cash for a house. I wish I could. I can't. Maybe when I'm 60, if I, you know, saved up every day till then, and depending what inflation did. But so I have to take that loan, and I'm becoming a slave to them. Every month, I have to give them a portion of my wage. And if I don't, they're going to take our house and throw us back out on the street. You know, there's taxes. We have to pay our taxes. If you don't, they're going to take your things. Beyond that, they're going to throw you in jail until they feel it's paid off. And a lot of times, even when you come out of jail, you still owe a bill, restitution. So you become a slave to the lender. We start asking for these free things. Yeah, free college, free this, free that. But what do we get with it? In these free schools, we get taught only what they permit. We get taught evolution. You know, there's now sex ed in the fourth grade. They're teaching self-pleasure in the second grade. You know, they're teaching about transgenders, homosexuals in kindergarten. We get evolution and humanism, the religion of the world. You know, worship one's own self. If you like it, do it. Feels great, do it. With the free medical, you can always ask Canada and Serbia how great that is. Many people fly here all the time from Canada. Even in the small amounts of socialism that we already have here in the U.S., and same with school, things like that, we can already see the slavery effects. This happened in Wisconsin in 1993. Wisconsin started doing a standardized testing system for all students. And it was kind of a peculiar one that got a lot of parents to kind of go, hey, what's going on here? Why are you guys doing this? So a bunch of people pushed against it. Well, the state responded to them and said, we have the jurisdiction. So many people got together again. They're like, well, where's this jurisdiction come from? How did you guys claim jurisdiction over us? We are a free people. They answered, your marriage licenses and birth certificates. At some point before 1993, Wisconsin had snuck into their licensing this, that when you get married through state permission, have children, your children become wards of the states. And this has actually happened in more states than just Wisconsin. But what a scary thing to think about. You know, you've taken part in their system, given up your God-given right to do it, and now they're in control. They decide what you get, when, and where. And if you don't want to partake of it, that's fine. You'll get your slavery punishment for it. You know, Satan's been given rule over this world, and all those that choose it. And it's a scary thing, you know. You don't really see any hope. Because once again, history repeats itself. We saw what happened to Greece. We saw what happened to Rome. But as Christians, you know, we've looked beyond that. You know, we've learned that there is something better. That we get to attain to something better. We've changed our citizenship to a heavenly kingdom. In Philippians 3, verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." See, as there's so many people out there right now, crying for something, looking for a Savior, you know, looking to the Bernie Sanders, looking to the Ron Paul, whoever. You know, even as great as Ron Paul is, it doesn't matter. His king's still Satan, whether he knows it or not. He still works for a humanistic society and is wanting to rebuild a humanistic society. That'll fall sooner or later. But all these people are looking and they're searching. And we've seen it. We were ones who were looking and searching at one point. We saw true freedom, a true kingdom, you know, a true king, one that gives us the freedom for anything. That we can go out and live. We can go out and be shining lights. You know, we get to not stay in this funk that so many of them in where, you know, man, if I just got that $15 an hour, my life would be better. Instead, we get a change of the internal man where we know it doesn't matter any situation. We are better. And we're striving for it too. We're the elect. We're His chosen people. And what a great thing. What an encouraging thing. And we get to go out into this dark, dark world and show that same path to all those that are lost. We get to show them that, hey, Bernie won't save you, but let me tell you about this guy that will. Hey, Ron Paul won't save you. Let me tell you about this guy who will.